Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Randy.
I am Dak.
And this is Ryan.
And this week, we are ranking the D23 announcements.
Oh, boys.
D23 2024.
Boys, I'm so glad that we have waited. I was telling Dak I was itching to do something when all this information started coming out. And I'm glad we waited until today to record and put this out there, because a lot of information has come out since. So this is going to be a fun episode.
Yeah, there's some things that y'all were telling me this morning that already has me grumpy.
Randy came out hot.
It is an early morning for us, and we are already all animated about the topic for today's show.
Well, I say we get into it. Let's go. Like, there was a lot. I will say that I watched it from afar this last time, and
because I was texting you play by play.
Yeah. And it started off a little slow, and then as it got further and further into the weekend, it was like boom, 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 hit after hit after hit, right?
Yeah,
like,
so I watched.
It was crazy.
There was no official live stream of the show. I did watch some random, I don't think he was random, he was from a company website. He did stream it on his phone, the entire 2.5 hour long presentation, which was probably about an hour and a half too long, because they included a lot of musical performances that some had nothing to do with anything, in my opinion. But for the most part, you know, interesting presentation altogether. But some of the announcements that came out, absolutely amazing, amazing announcements. So I thought what we do, let's rank these, because that's what we do on this podcast. We rank things, right?
Yeah, that's right. So everything has to have a numerical value to it, and we have to decide whether we like it or not.
Yeah. So I don't have an exact number of how many announcements there were. If you start counting in international parks, cruise lines, I mean, we're not even going to talk about the movies that they announced. But I wanted to just kind of hit on the top 10 domestic park announcements that came out of D23. Now, D23 happened August, 9th through 11th? Yeah. So
relatively recent to the recording of this episode.
Yes.
But long enough ago that it's not breaking news.
Yes. Okay. I think it's important to note too that we've, not just us, but Disney fans in general, have kind of given the Disney company some crap for announcing things and then not following through with those announcements. The whole term of blue sky, and Dak, you've talked about this term blue sky before in the past, which is kind of their, we're going to blue sky an idea. We're going to think about an idea. We're going to announce it. You know, hey, we're going to build such and such land and such park in 5 years, and then nothing happens, right? You were talking in the pre-show about Cherry Tree Lane at Epcot, that it was announced and seemingly just was dropped from the history books.
It's their fancy way of calling it a think tank, right? So it's just this open-ended, you know, my girls play this game Sims, where you can just create things, and that's basically what it is, right? It's like they just send these Imagineers in a room and say, no idea is a bad idea. Come up with thoughts of what you think the public would enjoy, and let's just start throwing some ideas together and see what's feasible and what's not. Right.
Well, and they buried themselves in a corner by doing this, because if you announce a project that everybody gets excited about and you don't do anything about it, then people start to lose trust in you as a company. So Josh D'Amaro, who is the chairman of Parks and Resorts for Disney, he is probably the most important, most visible guy after the CEO, Bob Iger. He came out at the beginning of the showcase event and announced, we are not blue skying any of these projects. Every single project that we're going to announce tonight is in production. It's in the works. It's going to happen. And Randy is looking at, he's already got like this look of doubt on his face.
What's that meme out there where, you know, Will Ferrell says, or, you know, his Anchorman says, I don't believe it. that's what I want you to have in your mind as we talk yeah. about just some of these. I don't believe
it. I think for the most part, the announcements that came out, I can see most of them coming to pass. I think there's probably going to be a few that have to be altered or changed.
So I think that's the important thing, right?
Yeah.
They're probably going to do something relative to what they're announcing, right? So, for instance, when they announced new attractions, especially, you know, thrill rides and stuff like that, are they going to do that? Chances are better than not, okay? But you have to just keep that in mind that they have announced attractions before that just did not happen. Mary Poppins, right? Look, Epcot really could use an attraction on that side of the park over there where they were going to put Mary Poppins in the World Pavilion, in the World Showcase over there in England. I mean, if all the places actually, like, it's just one of those countries that maybe because it's so small on the globe is also so small in the World Showcase. I don't know. Like, geographically, by the way, please don't be too upset, you know, folks from the UK, but, you know, they didn't do anything. So, I don't know. I think it'd be interesting. And by the way, we've been talking about some of these things y'all have said, you know, are kind of confirmed. And I see conflicting information out there, which tells me, and I see conflicting information from the park people and from people who tend to actually be really, really good confirmed high level insiders who have been spot on when calling park people baloney.
Well, and I think, and then we can start getting into the announcements, but I think part of the issue here is that Disney has cried wolf one too many times. And these D23 events have been these big rally, rah-rah sessions, and they basically pitch ideas out, and, ooh, the crowd reacted to that, let's go with it. Or, ooh, the crowd didn't react so well to that, maybe we pull back the reins on that idea. And it was like they were like, well, let's just see what the temperature is of the average Disney fan and see what kind of reaction we get. And then we'll build from there. It's like, no, come up with your own original ideas and go with it. Like, make it work.
And two important things that played into this particular D23. Let's not forget about it. Two really, really important things. Number one, park attendance is way down.
Yeah.
Way down. For the last 5 years, the parks have literally been carrying the entire company. Like, they've been hemorrhaging money in all of their other business lines except for parks. Parks has been carrying the company. And now that attendance is way down, we see it in the quarterly reports. They're feeling it, okay? So that's number one. Number two, and this is particularly true to Orlando, but Epic Universe is ready to come in. I mean, this is a really big deal. And everyone has been sitting there saying for a while, like, so what are you going to do about this, Disney? What are you going to do about this? Don't forget, the biggest rumor for the longest time, actually, was that there was just going to be a fifth park altogether. Not a bunch of expansion everywhere else. And instead, the D23 announcement, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, but the D23 announcement is like, hey, look, we're going to do major stuff. Iger said we're going to invest $10 billion in parks over a period of time. This is where that money's going to go. This is how it's going to happen. But when you legitimately look at the scale of what they're doing, does this look like a bona fide answer to Epic Universe in Orlando? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah,
But I do think that those are the two things that played into this announcement and how they did it, and then it goes to the point of, you know, DeMauro coming out and saying, no, look, we're going to do all of these things. They had to bring something, and they had to try and bring it as authoritatively as they could. Because Universal's going to be done.
Like, yeah.
Look, they don't mess around. They said, we're going to build the Velocicoaster, and 18 months later, it was running, right?
Yeah.
Disney said, we're going to build Tron, and it took us 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't disagree with your point. I think Disney has learned. I'm hoping that they have learned their lesson. And I want to believe Josh DeMauro when he said that these are not blue sky projects. These are all projects in development and that are going to happen. And some of these actually have somewhat start dates in mind. So
yeah,
let's just get into it. Top 10 announcements that come out of D23, starting with number 10. Now, again, this is according to me, Ryan.
The official
Ryan
D23
opinion
ranking.
Giver. Yeah. So Okay, so this may shock you guys a little bit. So coming in at number 10 for me, you know how I feel about parades?
I can't believe this made it top 10 at all.
The nighttime parade, so Disney Starlight coming to the Magic Kingdom. And I think this is where they got me, is where they referenced the electrical parade.
Yeah.
From many, many, many years ago, which was one, I mean, that was probably my favorite parade in all of the parks. But the fact that they referenced this parade to this new parade, this is a nighttime parade coming out to the Magic Kingdom. Characters Peter Pan, Encanto, Frozen, you know, I'm hopefully optimistic that this is going to be a really decent parade close to the Main Street Electrical Parade. Not a lot to say about that. It's just a parade. All right, number nine. You have a thought?
Well, I was just going to say, the one encouraging thing here is Disney, generally speaking, does a good job with parades. Like, generally speaking, there's not a lot of flops when it comes to parades. So hopefully, yeah, I'm with you. And that's all I got on
latest technology. It's gonna be a good parade.
Here's my complaint. Parades create major logistical problems when they take place. I already think there's too many of them during the day. They're not really parades during the day anymore, right? They're kind of like more, they sort of call them what, the cavalcades or whatever else like that. But it's a parade, okay? But it just takes up a lot, you know. You got to get everybody out of the way. You got to waste all of that masking tape. You got to do all the things that they do. And now we're going to do it at nighttime when it's hard to see and stuff like that. It'll just be really interesting. Now, the good news for me is, like you, Ryan, I'm really not interested. So I'm probably going to go find a queue that's pretty low at that point and hit some stuff I want to do.
100% correct. All right, number nine. And this may be higher on some people's list. I'm a little skeptical in how this is going to play out, but I like the announcement. So number nine, the Avengers Campus expansion at DCA. Okay. It's doubling in size, two brand new attractions, and construction is supposed to start next year. All right. So one of the rides is called the Avengers Infinity Defense, which some of the concept art, it looks pretty cool, but also they released a kind of a mock-up of the ride vehicle. It's going to be a multi-person, 16 to 20 people in this vehicle. We get to fight King Thanos or something like that. You know, we'll see. And then the other ride is going to be Stark Flight Lab, which that looks pretty cool. They're using the KUKA arm, that technology that's been around for...
Would you call me?
The KUKA. it's the same technology that they use over at the... So at Universal, the Harry Potter castle ride.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of that same technology. So
we'll be riding that one.
So two new... But I think it's supposed to be family friendly, right? Okay. So two new attractions, Avengers Campus at DCA.
I'm kind of curious. What are your thoughts? And I think this is a great idea. I do feel like Avengers Campus, like, it's a little underwhelming, to tell you the truth.
No, I think it's very underwhelming.
You know, Web Slingers, like... was a much, much needed addition to it, because beyond the Guardians mission breakout, like, you're just like, okay, the music's cool, I'm walking around, what am I doing here? That's how I really felt about it the whole time.
Yeah, I think just more is good. So I'm 100% on board with expanding that land.
I do wonder if, you know, I learned this actually last time I was there, because that's not our home park, so we don't go out there super often, but I learned after we did Web Slingers last time, now you can buy buy gear that actually will enhance your ability to play the game on Web Slingers. You know, the way these other things have kind of been described, like, I wonder if there's going to be more of that incorporated into these sorts of attractions.
Well, if Disney can think of a way to make more money, they will. So,
for instance, you know, they talk about the Stark Flight Lab. One of the, you know, accoutrements you could buy for Web Slingers is a repulsor hand, right? So instead of shooting webs, you could be, you know, using one of Tony's, repulsors to kill those spiders. And so I just don't know. To me, it sounds like it's an opportunity to make a $50 purchase more worthwhile if that's what they want to do. But, you know, we'll see. Either way, I do think that it's great that they're adding more attractions.
Yeah, they've needed to do this. Sure. And what's cool is Robert Downey Jr. will be reprising his role as Tony Stark, which will be, it'll be cool to see him again, hear his voice
You mean Victor Von Doom.
that's another episode. All right. Number eight. Randy, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this one. Number eight. The new...
Dak's already like, oh, I don't know.
So, the new Mandalorian mission coming to Smuggler's Run.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a great idea. To tell you the truth, I really don't care about it being Mando and Grogu. I just think it's great that they're adding more of these things in there. This actually, if you really want to know where my thoughts go on this one, it goes to the fact that it proves that they can take rides like this. They already did it with Star Tours. They can add additional missions and things to keep it lively and fresh. The announcement that I was thinking should have come right after this was that they were going to do the same thing at Flight of Passage, which they did not announce, right? So instead, they announced an opportunity for DCA. I don't know if you're going to cover that later, but it's one of those where, yeah, you need to do this to keep it interesting, to keep it fresh and keep it different. You know, at this point, me and my family, we've gotten really good at the existing Millennium Falcon ride. Like, really, really good. If you're a gamer or anything like that, from a score standpoint, from a mission standpoint, like, we know exactly what to do and how to do it. And it doesn't get, like, old for me, but it would be interesting to mix it up.
Yeah.
And not know before you're getting on, like, hey, what is about to happen here for our particular mission?
Yeah, so this is scheduled to launch in 2026 in time for the movie that's coming out. So one of the things that was announced was a Mandalorian and Grogu movie that'll be coming out in 2026. I think for me, what's cool about this is that, and I heard this somewhere else, I mean, I don't want to bash, is it Kathleen Kennedy?
No. Yeah. Yeah.
The disdain on Randy's voice.
Yeah. You know, she president of...
Time to retire.
Yeah, she's been in charge of Lucasfilm for... a while, and she has really pushed this new narrative, this new story, like the movies 7, 8, and 9, you know, Galaxy's Edge is this new storyline, and I think her original goal was to reach out to this new generation of Star Wars lovers, right? Forgetting that Star Wars originated in the 70s, and there's a generation out there that really loves the original trilogy. And I think...
And by the way, that generation raised their children to do the same sort of thing. So it was, you know, it's really interesting that you bring it up. It wasn't like we really needed to go bring new people in. It was, we just needed to keep a huge, huge, huge group out there interested. You don't make $1 billion off of episode 7 with bringing a new audience in.
Yeah.
That was largely the existing audience bringing their people with them to come and do it, right? Like, if it's something new and fresh, you got to ramp up to that sort of thing. Anyways, I don't know.
Yeah.
I could be completely wrong about that.
I hope that we get to see some more crossover with the original films, with this new announcement that they're bringing in the Mandalorian show, or not show, but update to the attraction.
You know, look, I think it would be real. You know, it would be really interesting. It would be really interesting if you had a Millennium Falcon ride and you did the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, right? Like, that would be really interesting. Cool. Like, what does that look like? Sort of a thing, you know. It's navigating the asteroid field at the end of the ride if you've been successful, right? It's expanding that sort of thing. Yeah, I just think there's a ton of opportunity for gaming storylines here in a gaming ride that they can capitalize on. This is a good, positive first step. I hope it's not the only step.
Yeah. All right. So coming in at number 7 on my list, first ever Coco attraction at DCA, Disney's California Adventure.
Boat ride, right?
It's going to be a boat ride. And I think for me, this announces something that, you know, the rumor was they were going to maybe take out Three Caballeros at Epcot and replace that with the Coco attraction. I think with this announcement, I think Three Caballeros is going to be safe for a while, which I personally like. I like Coco. I don't want to see Three Caballeros gone. So yeah, the first ever Coco coming in 2026. Boat ride. I mean, state-of-the-art animatronics. The concept art looks really cool. Very colorful. I think this is going to be a really cool attraction. Yeah, Randy's shaking his head. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good with this. I'm a big Coco fan. I love that movie, and so I'm excited about this. I think if it's done right, it can be a really fun ride for for a lot of people.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. It'll be good.
Yeah, maybe I don't disagree.
Seven's a good spot for this one.
Yeah, well, I think maybe ranks a little high on a top 10. Of course, I would have dropped the parade off altogether, but so, you know, but look, it's fine. I think it's fine. It's a boat ride.
Yeah. Well, I think
what's interesting is there aren't any of those out there, right? Yeah. So you're actually adding, so unlike going to Epcot where the only rides they have are boat rides, the, you know, that's not true now, but, you know, they've got some good stuff, but mostly it's been just boat rides for forever. This is something I think is needed out in DCA.
Yeah. Well, and they said too that they're going to draw inspiration from Pirates of the Caribbean and the Haunted Mansion. So I think if you tap into that technology, not just the old, but the new technology that we're seeing in other parks around the world, you bring some of that technology to the States and apply that to a Coco themed attraction, I think we're in store for a really, really fun attraction.
Oh, yeah. Dude, if they can bring the Shanghai technology of pirates to...
I mean, they're talking about state-of-the-art animatronics. Never before seen animatronics. So I think this is going to be a really cool attraction.
These figures will appear in ways you'll have to see to believe, says DeMauro, right?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I think if they can recreate what was in the movie on the, you know, the Land of the Dead, I can't remember what it's called right now. And just that golden bridge coming over, I think it'll be visually really amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, number six, and this was not without controversy. The Walt Disney audio animatronic of Walt Disney himself. Coming in 2025, so in time for Disneyland's 70th anniversary, they are going to debut in the Main Street Opera House and will play in rotation with Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. What do y'all think of this?
Yeah, I think it's great. I don't think it's going to be seen a ton.
I disagree.
Like Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. I think it's going to be one that is, you know. Look, Dak's never been to the Hall of Presidents.
Never.
So I mean, and look, we're talking in this room are three of the most diehard Disney fans there are, and this dude over here ain't seen the Hall of Presidents.
Yeah, well, it's true.
So that's kind of my premise behind it. Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. I haven't been in there since I was a child.
Okay? I like Walt Disney a lot more than I like most of our past presidents.
Well, it's not. But you see, that's the thing is those things are not about who you like and stuff like that. You know, Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln is about this is how everything else you see in the parks got started.
Yeah.
You know. So.
No, I'm teasing. I think there will be a huge spike in the beginning, right? Everybody's going to want to see it and Instagram it and all those things.
Right. That's exactly right.
And then I think by the end of the year, it will be an AC refuge.
that's exactly because we have these attractions. We've got the Hall of Presidents. We've got the Carousel of Progress. Like you've got pretty good reference points already. It's not like you're going to make the Walt Disney animatronic more lifelike than Abraham Lincoln. It's already pretty lifelike. He stands up. He talks. You know. You see what it is. So it's going to be a cool nostalgia sort of factor to see that from him. Well, and we've talked about this before with Walt Disney Presents, right? Like I love actually going through there and then watching the film that Walt narrates about his own life.
That's really cool. Yeah. So I've heard that this animatronic is going to be the most lifelike animatronic they've ever built. It's going to look as real as almost a human with skin. Each hair has been individually.
And how close are we going to be to see all of those kind of details? So I hear you. I totally agree. But I'm sitting in the back of the theater. He's going to look like Abe Lincoln to me. Yeah. You know, I'm sure if I walked up to Abe Lincoln, I'm like, I'm not sure this is what he looked like. But it's pretty darn close already. So to say it's going to be the most lifelike, you know, unless he gets off that stage and walks down the row and comes up to me, which he's not going to do.
You never know, Randy.
No, because we call that a Terminator. like, you know what I'm saying? So what am I get from that? He's going to be up on the stage.
My thing is, you just brought up Walt Disney Presents. Man, why not put it there? Of all the places, how cool would it be to go through that Walt Disney Presents museum, see all the stuff that he created, and then in that back theater, boom, there's your presentation.
Well, I think because they wanted this to be at Disneyland's 70th anniversary. Yeah.
Well, and it does make a lot of sense, even the rotation with Lincoln, because if this is like the evolution of how this all started, great. You know, I get it. But, you know, is it going to move the needle for the parks? No, not in the long run, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think they'll get a short. I think they'll get a boost.
I think you get a boost,
and I think
the same people you always get a boost from, yeah, which is the crowds that we don't like, the Instagrammers, those, yeah, you know, the you know,
TikTokers. All,
yeah,
yeah. Now Disney's,
you won't be able to get a Wi-Fi signal.
now Disney's granddaughter came out in opposition of this big time. Well,
but she's in opposition to big everything time. They, yeah, do. So.
So I will say this.
Except for her royalty check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say this. I was watching the stream, and when they announced this project, they had Roy Disney's, or so Walt's great nephew. Mm-hmm. He was there.
Yeah.
He signed off on it. And I'm like,
And he's been in opposition to pretty much everything, yeah, they've done for a while too. So that's.
But I'm like, there are direct descendants of Walt still alive. Yeah. Where are their approvals? So anyway, we'll see how this goes. I'm excited for it. I hear what you're saying, Randy. We'll see. All right. Number five. Okay. Let's get into some nitty-gritty now. The Cars Land expansion at Magic Kingdom.
We brought this up in the pre-show and Randy was fired, yeah, up.
Okay, let me read from the announcement here, okay? It's time to leave Radiator Springs and head west into exciting new locations. To make way for this completely new frontier, the Rivers of America and Tom Sawyer Island will be transformed into vast and rugged terrains for a rally race. Off-road race, concept art, this is an off-road type of an attraction. We are thrilled to create this original Cars adventure and to put our guests in the driver's seat as we, quite literally, explore a new frontier land. And this is supposed to start construction next year. They've already filed permits for drainage.
Where was Walt's granddaughter on this one? You know, I mean, it's interesting to me, besides Main Street USA, what's more important to Walt than the American frontier? Like, this was one of his absolute hallmarks, right? You know, you're talking about the Liberty Bell going around, you know, the boat. I just, to me, it's inconceivable that you would do that and take Tom Sawyer Island. And what's inconceivable is what you're talking about is you're doing this without expanding the geographic footprint of the park when you didn't have to. You have plenty of space already. You were supposed to go beyond Big Thunder Mountain in the first place, right? And so now you're basically kind of doing that, but you're going, instead of beyond, you're going before. I don't get it. I think it ruins the view. I think it adds to the crowding. I'm in favor of the attractions, just not the location.
I would say, Deck, you look like you want to say something.
No, you take and then I'll throw in my 2 cents.
And I'm going to go back to what I talked about before. You know, my concern is they're on this kick of reimagining things. You know, I decried it from the beginning when they screwed up Country Bears, and then I watched what they did, and it's in my opinion, it's an abomination. The new Country Bears, it's an absolute abomination. There's some people that love it. I've read some things like that, but I've watched it. It just doesn't even make any sense. They've ruined two things. They ruined the Country Bears, and they ruined all of the songs that the Country Bears are now singing because it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. In their zeal to be a little bit more politically correct, different story, not going to go down that point, but in their zeal to be a little bit more politically correct and force existing IP down your throat, you really can do too much of something for no reason whatsoever. And Country Bear is a good example of that. I worry that transforming this particular area to expand the Frontierland footprint is just more of, it's just an unnecessary thing.
So I will actually be on the opposite side of this argument. I actually, so this is one
and
of the,
where am I going to go sit on a rocking chair and get a little moment's peace and quiet?
Well, not here anymore.
No.
I would say this is one of the announcements that I actually was very surprised by. I did not think that Frontierland was going to survive. I thought with Tiana's Bayou Adventure, and we know Pecos Bill is going to be gone here soon. They're going to make that into a restaurant. I thought they were kind of downplaying and just kind of moving away from the entire Frontierland idea, because you know what, and this is what Josh DeMaro said in the presentation, is that, you know, they just, you know, they want to reimagine this concept, this idea of Frontierland. They don't make many, like the Frontierland that we know, that our parents' generation knew, a lot of Western movies, they don't really do that stuff anymore. So they needed to reimagine this area. And I thought they were just going to make it, them getting rid of Tom Sawyer Island and Rivers of America.
Kevin Costner would disagree with you.
I agree. Kevin Costner, who else is keeping Westerns alive in Hollywood?
Now look, I mean, and look, you know, the box office maybe tells you everything you need to know about that. But going back to our discussion about Kathleen Kennedy just a second ago, like you're going down the same path.
Yeah.
You're going down the same path. And I don't think it was necessary. That's my only point.
But
I am in favor of maybe even reimagining. I don't think you need to destroy to reimagine, though. I think you can expand and build.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How many times have you been on the island or on the riverboat in your past five trips?
Well, so that's part of the problem is, and I get why they're doing it. They close it down. Okay. It opens late and it closes early. Like, you know, the park opens at 8:00. They're not ferrying people across until 10:00 sometimes. And then they shut it down at 5:00.
Yeah.
You know, so there used to be things that they used to have. They used to have a restaurant out there. They used to have all sorts of stuff. It's all kind of gone away over the years. But I just don't think that you need to be diminutive to be additive here. I think there is so much more opportunity to be additive rather than take away.
Those are big words.
Well, you know, for 7:40 in the morning, yeah.
You know, you look at the concept art of this. It looks like it's very much a Pacific Northwest vibe. You're going to have some, you know, here's what I do hope. I do hope they put in a lot of water with this, because they are taking away the Rivers of America, which is really the biggest water feature at Magic Kingdom. I hope they do add some water to this new attraction. It looks like they will. I'm, you know, just let's move some capacity, right? Take capacity away from Tron, from Seven Dwarves, from Big Thunder, and let's. I get what you're saying, Randy. Could they have put it beyond Big Thunder? They probably could have, but this is just a huge footprint that was not getting a lot of use. And for me, I'm like, is it going to be sad to not see that again? Yes, which is, but at the same time, so here's kind of the caveat. I was listening to another podcast, and a guy who was actually there at the arena during the presentation, and he said of all the announcements, this was the one announcement that got some boos. So this may be an announcement / attraction that they may have to modify. Before finalizing. But like I said,
think about standing in the queue at Haunted Mansion now, right? And you don't have the river to look at and look out over kind of this.
Yeah, no, they're
like,
going to
what are you going to, like, it's one of those things that, like I said, I understand why they would go down that path. And I'm 100% supportive of the attractions. I just don't think you need to do it here. Yeah. I think that you need to expand the footprint of the park. Let's not create more congestion here. Let's create less congestion by expanding out so that you can move people in other areas. You know, the further you have to get people to walk around, the less crowded we're going to be in all of the pinch points that we already have. That's a huge pinch point coming out of Fantasyland over right to Haunted Mansion. And now you're talking about, if you're doing this, you're going to be shoving them straight across instead. I just don't know that is the way to go. You know, and totally understand too. I have my own nostalgia here. I have a lot of things to go with. You know, my very favorite thing to do growing up as a kid, these are some of my best memories, was going to Tom Sawyer Island, right? So I get it that I have my own kind of personal history tied up in this, but I'm putting my business person hat on and I'm saying, I think that we could have beat this idea up a little bit more before that's where you go. Now, having said that, I know that you read that part of the announcement there. I've read actually multiple other announcements that completely leave that section out about doing it there. And in fact, some new ones released by the company, they don't mention that part at all. They just mention that they're going to do it.
Yeah. Well, for Disney Parks blog, which is obviously the official blog of Disney, this is straight from their website. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, permits have been filed. They filed the permits this week for... like they have to obviously drain the Rivers of America before they do. They have to put in some sort of new drainage facility. The permits for all that have been filed. So, I mean, you probably know that better than anybody with your job in public work. So, Dak, you haven't said much because Randy and I have been talking.
Yeah, well, no, that's fine. I would say I'm kind of in the middle ground. And what I mean by that is...
Which is funny because you're sitting in the middle of us.
Yeah, right I'm sitting in between you two, refereeing. No. to me, this is one of those eye rolls and kind of a, well, we'll see, right? So that's where I'm sitting on this is like, just like you said, I heard the same things at D23. This, like when they announced it, people were like looking at each other like, what? Like, where did this come from? Like... And so again,
Epic Universe, that's where it came from.
Yeah, like to me, this is a we'll see. I mean, what is public perception going to be? How well is this being received? You know, all these things, concerns from what Randy's bringing up, thoughts that you're bringing up, Ryan. I think all of these things are being voiced right now. And Disney, again, has had a history of like making big announcements and then kind of like that didn't float over so well, and so we'll see. I am kind of curious though. I love the concept. I am kind of curious, like, how are these road racers going to work? Are they going to be free flowing vehicles? I don't think so. Like, I don't think they're putting people in side by sides and sidekicks and letting them just roam freely. So that's the part that's encouraging to me is like, okay, well, let's see.
Sounds like the attraction itself is still a little half-baked.
Yeah. Like, if it's another, you know, Speedway, no. I want no part of that, right? Just on more pumped-up, bigger vehicles. I don't want to be on a track of any kind. Like, for me, personally.
No, I agree with you.
But I don't know how you could safely and logistically just let people go out and...
It'll be some sort of track.
Yeah.
It has to be.
And so, again, jury's out for me on this one. All right. But we've probably beat it up enough.
Okay. All right. Moving on to number four. This one completely caught me by surprise, and I'm sure you guys too. The Monsters, Inc. land that's going to take place at Hollywood Studios, which still does not have an official location yet. But this, the concept art looks amazing. They actually have a scale model of this. Looks amazing. This is going to be Disney's first suspended coaster, which is going to be, the track is going to be above you, so you're going to be hanging from the track itself. A family style coaster, so it probably won't be too crazy. But the fact that the concept art calls for a Metropolis, which is, you know, if you've seen Monsters Inc., Metropolis is like their city, right? The big warehouse, the big the facility, the door facilities in the middle of Metropolis. The concept art shows all of this. So it's going to be interesting to see where they put this at Hollywood Studios and how big this actually will turn out to be, because the rumor, I mean, we talked about this. There's a couple rumored spots. One is Animation Courtyard, where the Star Wars launch bay is, which I think would be the best spot.
It makes the most sense.
It makes the most sense.
Again, it goes back to what we were talking about before. You need to put your traffic, your foot traffic, in other places than where you're already at.
That area is garbage right now.
There's nothing going on there. The launch bay itself is basically a glorified gift shop that's barely open.
That came out in 2015.
Yeah.
That's how old that area is.
Yeah. So I think it would be a great spot. But as I look at some of their concept art, like, I could see that they were picturing probably where you're going to talk about next.
And this other place would, let's just say, make a lot of people upset. That's over by the Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, using the Muppets theater, that area, they would have to probably get rid of the Muppets or move them somewhere else, which, if they were to move them to the Hall of Presidents, I think that'd be cool. But I don't see how you could have Galaxy's Edge and
I personally don't think right what they're describing here. I don't see enough room there.
No, there's not.
So, and I think we need to keep this in mind too. When you're talking about like a suspended coaster, like they're talking about, you probably need to be thinking about a building, not probably quite the scale of Cosmic Rewind.
Yeah.
but probably at least half that size. Yeah. Okay. So you're thinking of building a rock and roller coaster building. That's really what this is going to be, is a rock and roller coaster style building. You need a lot of real estate to make that happen. You got to go someplace. I don't think you can do that in the middle over there where Muppets are and build that out. I just don't think there's the space. They might surprise me. Who knows? But, you know, the other thing, too, is that area itself has been under construction recently for renovation. It seems like that would be just a tremendous waste to have done all of the renovation work that they just did and then rip it all out to redo that. And you'd lose some of your very popular restaurants in that area as well, right? Have to get rid of Pizza Rizzo. You'd have to get rid of Mama Melrose, you know, which is an ADR. You know, Hollywood Studios already, frankly, doesn't have enough food options for the volume of people going through there on a daily basis. So if it were me, I'd be over there, Launch Bay, off the side from, you know, Runaway Railway and the Chinese Theater and all those other things. You could cannibalize where you've had the Voyage of the Little Mermaid that's not a thing. And you know what I'm saying?
It's, well, and I think, too, if you put it on that side, you can tie it in. You can make a pathway behind it that ties into to Toy Story Land. Correct. And keep kind of the Pixar element on that one side of the park.
Yep.
They're going to have to tear down some office space, which I don't think it's a big deal because, you know, whenever they had this agreement, this new Reedy Creek Improvement District model they have, they passed this ordinance. You know, I don't know if it's an ordinance or whatnot, but they approved
the Central Florida Tourism Oversight.
Yeah. Well, they approved all this new office space to be built, right? Yeah. Along with new theme parks and new land. So I don't think them tearing down an office building to make room for a Monsters Inc. land is going to be that big of a deal, but that's just me.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. Number three, this was the very first announcement of the night, a new Avatar themed land at Disney's California Adventure. To me, I like the fact that this is not going to be a clone of what they have at Animal Kingdom at Disney World. This is going to be a brand new story based off the second movie, which was, what is it, Way of Water. And then the third movie that's coming out in a couple years, this is what the new land is going to be based on. Concept art looks amazing. No floating mountains. But, you know, the ride itself is going to be like, looks like a boat ride. They didn't have concept art for a second attraction. So, but I can't imagine them putting in an Avatar land and only having one attraction. They're going to have two attractions, probably some restaurants, probably in terms of footprint can be very similar to what they have at Disney World, but just newer, probably a little bit more advanced technology. And then, just a new storyline. I thought this was pretty cool. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm good with it. Again, I hope it's not just a watered down version of Pandora from Animal Kingdom. If it's just a boat ride and then some visuals, I'm not as excited. Well,
the concept art makes the land look huge. I can't imagine them doing just one attraction based on the art that's come out.
Yeah.
So,
but the art is just people in this small world Pirates of the Caribbean style boat.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're talking it's your classic boat ride, four people on a row, eight rows in a boat sort of thing, like not a thrill attraction. Again, conceptually it's great. Perhaps this is how they have to start before you can really build a bigger, more thrill attraction and stuff like that. I find it an interesting addition to DCA in terms of IP, to tell you the truth. Like, feel like if you're going to be building on Pandora, maybe you should just keep it in Pandora. There shouldn't be two Pandoras. There should be one Pandora.
Yeah.
But you know, if they're going to go that, if you know the movies, you realize that the Animal Kingdom Pandora is basically, it's almost a completely different world, even it's on the same planet as the one that you see in the second movie, right, which is all in the water. So I guess I can kind of get it.
Yeah, and the way they announced it, they talked about how this is going to take you further into Pandora than what,
right,
than
which what is the, which is what the, you know, the second movie kind of does.
They're going to have to come up with a thrill attraction.
And we talked about this in pre-show. I guess my issue with making a Pandora announcement is, you know, we already, so they've proven that they can do this with the Millennium Falcon by bringing a different storyline. I think we've all been discussing this after Avatar 2 came out. When are they going to update Flight of Passage so that we get the water attraction? Because conceptually, mechanically, everything would work perfectly well to be able to do the exact same thing with a different show, different mission sort of thing. So mm-hmm. I thought that that was probably their better opportunity than to introduce a boat ride and build a new land out. Particularly given the vast amount of IP that's available in terms of, well, what land do we choose to do here? But, you know, I'm not gonna poo-poo it.
Yeah, and the reason why I rank this number three, I think based on potential and based on what they've already done at Animal Kingdom, if they can get a Flight of Passage type, maybe not the same mechanics, but if they can achieve that level of thrill, then I think we're gonna have a really fun park.
If they can get that. Yeah. Here's the last thing I'll say about this. I know, Dak, you've got something you probably want to say on this because, you know, DCA is your baby. But, you know, the biggest crime about Pandora at Animal Kingdom is that Animal Kingdom usually closes at 6, sometimes 7, right? Yeah. And the best time to view Pandora is at nighttime, you don't get to do because when it's dark, Animal Kingdom's closed. So this is a great opportunity, I think, to kind of
get to experience
the atmosphere in a park that's going to be open late, you know, throughout the year. I like that idea, but you're not going to see the floating mountains, so you're going to miss out on some of those things, right? You know, there's a little bit of give and take.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, and I think, you know, Ryan just said this. You hit the nail on the head. One of the best things I'll say about Pandora is viewing it at night. You know, you touched on something here just, and this was my thoughts as far as an overall thought of D23, and maybe, I don't know if this is the right time to insert this in the conversation here in the middle of Ryan's rankings, but I just, some of these get the feel, at least for me, of like, we're just trying to compete with Epic Universe and come out with big ideas. And I know this is not the most like exciting or sexy news, right? Of just coming out and saying, hey guys, for D23 announcements, we're revamping and we're updating, you know, Soarin' or Spaceship Earth, or, you know, that's not going to get the flair and the excitement that they want to generate out of these D23 events. But to me, some of these things, it's like, man, we're spending $500 million on this new land or $1 billion on this new whatever, right? Like, imagine what the cost is going to be for this Cars ride if it does come to fruition. I just wonder if, like, could we reallocate some of these funds to just update what we have and refresh what we have, right? I mean, like, that's what I love the most about the Millennium Falcon ride is it's like, yes, that's what is needed, right? Is new shows, new film, new experiences within the same concept. Again, I don't know. I just, that would have been my magical scenario, if we will. And I know, I'm sorry, Ryan, I'm like hijacking your show here, but my magical scenario, it would be in this episode is like, okay, which of these concepts would you drop for a refresh of some of the other rides we currently have?
Well, and I think, to your point, I think this particular, because they do this expo every 2 years, right, where they have these big announcements. I don't think this was the show where they were going to announce a refurb of anything.
No.
So, and I think for me, it's like, what happened to Tomorrowland? That needs the biggest refurb of the
totally.
Mall, right?
But that's not exciting to come
But it's not exciting, right?
Yeah, and say, hey, we're going to update Tomorrowland. People would be like, and?
Well, you know, I mean, look, so they kind
like,
of,
hey, we're going to do something.
They kind of
Stitch.
Make that announcement, and I think we're going to get here in the next couple that you have, but they kind of did make a, we're going to refurb a land sort of thing. But I agree with you completely, and that's why I let off the episode by saying this is in response to two things, low park attendance and Epic Universe, we got to compete. And it does feel like there was so much that came out of this, like literally, I don't think we've ever seen a D23 where they announced this much new stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Even when they did the Epcot announcements that frankly never came to pass, it wasn't on this kind of scale. Yeah. This is so much. And let's not forget, we're not even really talking about what they're doing like in parks across the world. Yeah, like we're really just focusing on the American parks here. So there was even more outside there. That's what I feel like. I feel like this is like, you're cute, Universal. You're doing your thing. Look, we're doing all of this stuff. And do I think that moves the needle here? I'm not convinced.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, Ryan.
All right. No, good. Okay. Number two. This is to your point, Randy. Between number two and number one, I could personally flip-flop these. All right. But number two, I'm going with Tropical Americas at Animal Kingdom. So this is going to be not a new, but they're basically taking where Dinosaur is, where the whole Dino Land used to be. They're turning that into this new. They're going to have two attractions. They're going to have the Indiana Jones attraction, which is going to be a brand new storyline, which sounds amazing. And this Encanto themed area, right? For me, it's like, I love what they described it as. They say just like Harambe, this new land is going to feel lived in, if you walk through Animal Kingdom, you walk through Harambe, it feels like you're walking through a legitimate not this fabricated or created land, but something that feels real. So for me, this new Indiana Jones experience, it sounds amazing. I haven't seen Encanto in a long time, but from the concept art, we're getting a new carousel, which this is going to be Disney World's second only carousel. It looks pretty cool. So Randy's looking at me like. But construction is going to begin.
Do we really need more than one carousel?
Well, if you got little kids, carousels are fun. What's cool about this is that this is happening. Like this is going to come to pass. Construction starting in 2027. Again, look up the concept art on this land. It looks absolutely amazing. Looks very beautiful. Lots of trees, lots of colors. I think we're talking about Animal Kingdom becoming a really, really fun destination. Now, it's been pretty bad recently,
especially that side of the park.
That side of the park has been horrible.
Yeah, I'm not hurt by this at all. I really am on board with this concept. I mean, honestly, I've never really understood the whole Dino Land insert into Animal Kingdom. Yes, dinosaurs are animals. I get that, but I just like, I don't know, and it's like. We're in Dino Land, and there's this fossil dig, but around the corner is this
carnival,
and
that's what I didn't get.
Yeah, and like
I get Dino Land, I didn't get the carnival.
Yeah, I'm just like,
and in fact, I didn't like the carnival.
Is the
that's
theme
everything
here.
I dislike about Six Flags is going through kind of the carnival area, stuff like that. I just never liked that. I get the dinosaurs because that's the foundation of all of the other animals and stuff that we have. You talk kind of about evolution of things, etc. But I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, so I'm good with it. I'm very, very good with the Indiana Jones switch over from Dinosaur.
That's really not a new announcement. It's just a more detailed announcement.
It's a more detailed announcement.
Right.
Yeah.
They already announced they were going to make an Indiana Jones one. They didn't go into details on how, where, when, what it was going to look like. They still really haven't done that other than to say that it's replacing Dinosaur. That's a confirmation now. I do find it really interesting, it's going to be a completely new adventure. They're not going to change the ride system or the track. We already know that. So I'm like, okay, so.
It's going to be a new story.
It's a new story, right? Story. That's why I say I'm like,
He's chasing some Mayan mythological creature,
Yeah, so and then the alien skulls pop up and whatever. So that's cool. It's going to be great, I just think, this is a little bit of a rinse and a repeat. I think that the land itself is probably, in my opinion, the bigger, sexier attraction here. The fact that we're going to do something over there. Again, this is an opportunity now to spread people out throughout the park. You try and relieve some congestion and pinch points in areas where you're utilizing spots that don't get utilized super much. And you're not trying to bring everybody into the same area.
My big thing here is like
restaurant.
The biggest quick service restaurant in Disney World.
I think that actually is probably, in my opinion, that's the most important part about this announcement.
Well, my thing is like, look, Everest tends to go down fairly frequently.
Every 10 minutes.
Yeah. Flight of Passage also has a tendency to go down. When those two rides go down at the same time Animal Kingdom is a nightmare.
You might as well not even be there.
Yeah. That's exactly right. To that point, I think this creates another e-ticket attraction in the park that will help relieve some of that pressure.
Yeah, two new attractions.
Right? Like you're gonna disperse the crowd a little bit better. And I'm excited about this one.
I think what I find a little bit interesting is the the Tropical Americas theme to go with it. You know, Indiana Jones is a world adventurer, so kind of pinning him down into here, I don't know, that feels a little lazy to me, to be honest. Is that the place I would have picked? I don't know if that's necessarily where I would have picked, but I'm not gonna complain. Again, yeah. I love the announcement. I think it's great. Think you can always, you know, Monday morning quarterback the way they're going to go about some of these sorts of things, but it's needed. So get it done.
Yeah.
All right.
Numero uno.
So number one, probably no surprise here. This was the big announcement of the entire presentation, really of the entire weekend. A Villains Land is coming to Magic Kingdom. So two new attractions, be the biggest expansion ever at Walt Disney World, which if you look at the size of Galaxy's Edge, which was a 14 acre expansion, if they're calling this the biggest expansion, this will need to be bigger than that. So two major attractions, dining, shopping. Again, look at the concept art. There's going to be a roller coaster, looks like. There's a fire-breathing Maleficent in dragon form. Very eerie, very dark looking. Going to be probably over there off behind Haunted Mansion. If you look at the concept art of the Cars Land, there definitely looks like a pathway that kind of leads to the right behind Haunted Mansion. So, listen, they've talked about this for a while. Concept art has been around for a while. Rumors have been around for 20 years of a Dark Kingdom type of a park. This is indicative that, you know what, the creators and the Imagineers are listening to the fans. They've wanted this for a long time. And is it a completely new park? No. But I think a 14 to 15 acre expansion of Magic Kingdom to bring this to life, to me, is a really good start. And I think if we go back to the rumors of Beyond Big Thunder that came out last year, where they talked about an Encanto attraction, a Coco attraction, and a Villains Land attraction all behind Big Thunder, the fact that they didn't do that, that they're just putting a Villains Land, to me, signifies that, you know what, there may be bigger expansions on the table in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited about this one. I think that there is a whole group of Disney fans that are Disney villain fans and love this idea of, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, the darker side of Disney. That's probably not the right way of classifying it, but just,
I think it's a great way to classify it.
Yeah, like just to have that. I mean, people really get into the Halloween season and all of those things. I think it just opens up a whole nother genre of Disney fandom that is out there that really isn't represented, right? You have your Marvel group, you have your, you know, Pixar group, and you have your classic Disney group. And I think that this just opens the door for that group of fans, Disney fans, that will allow them to have a fun place to go, you know, hang out. Just like Galaxy's Edge did that for all the Star Wars fans, I think it's going to be the same type of excitement as this land gets completed. I'm excited. I think, I will say this, if you don't do an Emperor's New Groove ride out of this, because even in the cartoon, they ride a roller coaster, right? Like, mm-hmm. You have to do that type of ride. If not, I will boycott Villains Land.
I wouldn't mind seeing a little modification to the Halloween party with this.
Oh,
with
I would not be land. Surprised if that's where they hold it.
Yeah.
Like a big part of it. So that's kind of what happened with DCA, right? So DCA took over the Oogie Boogie Bash, and I would not be surprised if eventually this is something where the main part of the Halloween party, your shows, like your stage shows and your maybe even your fireworks display all kind of revolve around Villain's
Nest. It looks like they're going to build a smaller smaller castle, probably similar to what
probably
they did
similar
with
to Be My Guest, Be My Guest Beast yeah. Castle.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a huge expansion.
Yeah. I'm good with it.
Yeah. We'll see. I think it's intriguing.
Yeah.
It's certainly intriguing. Conceptually, I like it. I think it's a good idea. Again, is this where I would put that sort of thing? I'm not so sure. I'm just not so sure that the location is what ties that together and makes a ton of sense.
So you don't think it should be in Magic Kingdom?
No. Where in Magic Kingdom? This replaces Beyond Big Thunder Mountain, right? That's what this is doing.
I'm with you now.
I think that, you know, thematically, conceptually, you could have gone other areas that would make even more sense. You know, I think about the other side of the park behind New Fantasyland, behind Beast Castle and stuff. Doesn't that kind of make a little bit more like you keep going that way and you're off into the distance? But it's going to be, you know, it's okay. I'm looking at some of the things. I've actually started pulling up some of the permits and permit sets. Like, what are they doing here? You know, there'll be a little bit of a water feature or whatever like that. You know, I wonder if in this new Frontierland, eventually we don't get something kind of similar to the boat ride at DCA. You know, the raft ride there.
Yeah.
You know, that would be okay. You really kind of do need something like that, but I think it's okay. I think it's too light on details at this point to be anything significant.
Which is not enough
to say, hey, we're going to put two attractions. We don't know what they're going to be. We're going to put in a lot of shopping and dining. We don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be the biggest thing we ever did. Okay, great. You know what? You said that about the Epcot transformation and what we got. Very ho-hum. Yeah.
Again, I'll go back to what I said at the beginning. I think because Disney has a lot of egg on their face because of the announcements they've made in the past and that have not come to pass, I think that for them to have this level, I mean, there's a reason why they moved this expo to the Honda Center, because of the theatrical performances that they could put on. They can't do that at the Anaheim Convention Center. They could fit more capacity. They had a live orchestra.
Yeah, they had a full orchestra on stage.
Which was amazing. Like, for them, if they put the show on and spent how many millions of dollars?
I was about to say, if they spend as much money on these attractions as they did on the show, we're talking about the attractions.
Yeah. I just think that they've already, you know, cried wolf once. They can't do it again. I think most of these, if not all of these, need to come to pass in some way or form as they were announced during the expo. Otherwise, I think the fans are going to lose their freaking minds that Disney has done this to us again. They've announced all these projects and they're not delivering. I think for them to do that would be just killer. They have to proceed with a lot of these, if not all of them. So that's my final thought here.
The danger in it is really this. Let's say they go forward, they deliver all these sorts of things. And you guys remember what happened when Galaxy's Edge opened? Nobody came. It just didn't move. They thought that all of a sudden they were going to get such a huge influx of people to go through it. It just didn't do it for people. Now, we all know that Galaxy's Edge done really well. It's amazing, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, they had huge missteps when they opened Galaxy's Edge. They were in such a rush to open it that they didn't have two attractions running when it opened. Yeah. Right? They only had one attraction running when it opened. So it was still not fully fleshed out. They're rushing through some things here, you know, and I think we all agree, right? Disney speed is slower than pretty much everybody else's, but you tend to get, I think, a really high quality product as the result of that. But they're trying to rush to compete, and you just worry that they're going to make some of the same mistakes that they made previously. By the way, a lot of those people still in charge, okay? A lot of the same people that were in charge of the Galaxy's Edge opening debacle still around. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's going to be interesting to see what they actually deliver. I think that they tease certain things that get people excited. I mean, for instance, Dak, you were talking about this, the thing, the Cars attraction, you were describing in a way that completely was not anything that I had imagined whatsoever. I'm picturing like this is off-road Radiator Springs Racers. That's all this is. All the pictures I've seen, the site, like that's what it looks like to me, which is great. That's a fun ride.
Ryan and I agree it's not as good as Test Track, right? Dak thinks it's better than Test Track. That's fine. But I think you're going to get more of that sort of thing. And is that what's going to bring a bunch of people into the parks? Not convinced. They're trying to compete with a competitor in a way that is interesting because Universal doesn't have that high of foot traffic either. Like, they've always lagged behind. Them adding another park is their way of trying to say, hey, we're just trying to keep pace, not trying to add more.
Yeah, and I guess my final thought is just this. I'm hopefully optimistic. We have seen some things. You know, Tokyo Disney came out with some amazing attractions. You know, I guess you could argue that part of that has to do with the structure of how Tokyo Disney works with their collaboration with, you know,
the government
there. So again, I'm hopefully optimistic that some of these things come out the way that they're supposed to. And so I'm more in the camp of what you're describing, Ryan. I'm just kind of like, well, we'll see. Like, I've been burnt before, right? This is like that girlfriend that has burned you before, and you're like, well, I want to come back to you because you're pretty and sparkly and all those things, but you've hurt me in the past. And so I'm going in not very trustful that all of these things are going to come to pass. I hope they do, but I'm a little cautious, right? Because like you said, Ryan, I've been hurt before. As a Disney fan, I've been hurt before, and so I don't want to get my hopes up too much.
Fair.
All right, well, guys, check us out. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We post every now and then. Not too often, not but enough. check us out. And again, every Wednesday we drop new episodes. So hopefully you like today's episode. So again, thanks a bunch. We'll see you later.
Bye.